Okay, everybody, praise the Lord once again. Go with me in prayer. Once again, Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come before you, to humble ourselves before you, O Lord. Thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We thank you for the Spirit of Truth, who is the resident truth teacher, that teaches your word, who illuminates and gives us understanding according to your word, just as you said, Lord Jesus, that he will speak of that which belongs to you. Open up our eyes and our understanding that we may continue to behold you and love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thank you for this time, and lead us, Spirit of God, that we may worship accordingly to glorify the Father. These things we ask in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are continuing our message, our topical message, which is entitled Unmasking Satan. And this is part five of the message. And we are painstakingly going through this because I believe it's very important that we understand about what the Bible says about our enemy. It is sad that there are many churches today that does not preach about Satan, not saying that he is to be their major subject, but because the Bible reveals who he is, we need to know who he is, as the scripture said he is. Now, last week we left off concerning about the second point, Satan, his titles, and his names. We've seen Satan, who is he, and now we're in the second point, the titles and his names. And we begin with the titles, as I have shared with you last week, that the scripture says, and again, I reemphasize that. And I hope if anything you get that you understand what is being said, that it is the Bible. It's not Michael Williams. It's not Pastor Rod. It's not Word of Life. It is the Word of God that reveals who Satan is. And by the privilege and the goodness and the Almighty God himself, the mercy that he has given us, that he allow us to see this, as Brother Rod had mentioned in our Sunday school lesson. So now, as we see what the Bible says, that first of all, we've seen the titles. And again, this speaks of his authority. He is called the ruler of this world. Again, we've seen it in John chapter 12, verse 31. Secondly, we've seen that he is called the prince of the power of the air. And we looked at that, and we've seen in Ephesians chapter 2 that before Christ came into our lives, before we now begin to see what Christ is or who Christ is, before we begin to now live a holy life, we was in darkness. And the scripture says that we walk according to the prince of the power of the air. And again, that word walk means to regulate one's lives. This was our habitual life. This was our conduct. We were in darkness. And yet, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, by the kindness of God, he sent forth his son to pay the price that we cannot pay, to where now we are called children of God. So we've seen that he is called the prince of the power of the air. And it's sad, again, that there are many who are still under his power. Some of you have loved ones who are still under the power of Satan. And we who are now in the kingdom of light must share with them of his goodness. Thirdly, we also seen, talking about his titles, that Satan is called the deceiver, which he deceives the whole nation. And lastly, we seen last week that he is called the God of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, again, you don't have to turn, but it says here, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The Bible declares that Satan is the god of this world. And we looked at that word world when at first it means cosmos, meaning that Satan also is the god of this system. This is his system. But in this particular text here, it talks about here when we see the word world, it's not cosmos. It is the word age, meaning that this is his thinking. This is his thought. This is what's currently going around now. This is his philosophy. This is the way he having people to believe. Again, as I use the example, when we believe that same-sex marriage is all right, that is okay in the sight of God, that is his thinking. Man did not come up with that. Man is just depraved. But the thinking came, and the source of that is the God of this age. When we begin to believe that abortion is okay, again, it is the God of this age. And again, it's sad that people who are in churches today do not recognize that. They do not understand it. Why? Because the God of this age is having them being blind to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no transformation in their lives. They cannot see. And as I shared last week, it's not that that Satan is keeping them in blindness in the sense of that they are just being innocent. Because, again, no one is innocent. No one is innocent who lives right now. You're not innocent. You're not an innocent bystander. No, the scripture says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you look at that phrase when it says, who do not believe. That means you are continually hearing the gospel, but you refuse to believe. So Satan now is filling you up with his lies. And he's working tremendously hard and relentless hard to keep you blind, that you would not hear the gospel or that you would not accept the gospel, that you will be in the place that is prepared for him and his angels. So he is the God of this age. Again, when you have practicing, and I don't pick on them just to be there, but that is the current ideology. That is the current philosophy. When you have, and I have read this in my research as I was doing this here, when you have practicing homosexuals says that they are a Christian and that it is okay with God to live as they living, to continually practicing that perverted abomination that God says that it is an abomination, when you believe that it is all right, when churches start saying, yes, you could come as you are, we will not speak about that, we will accept that, we will embrace you, when you believe that that's okay. That is the God of that age that is now filling their minds to believe that. He is not only the God of this system, of the cosmos, but he is the God of the age. When you believe all types of ideology, humanistic philosophies, anything that opposes against Christ himself and the gospel, that is the God of this age. And praise be to God that he has delivered us out of, according to Colossians, out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us into his light. You ought to be glad and rejoicing that now you are able to see that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is not the man upstairs. See, the world would say he is the man upstairs. But us as believers whose eyes have been opened now understand, we know that he is what? The Son of God. The eternal Son of God. The Savior of the world. The Messiah himself. God in human flesh. The God of this age will have you to say that he's just the man upstairs. And so with the man upstairs, that's all you take him as be. The man upstairs. Well, you know, the man upstairs, he take care of me. Yeah, you know, the man upstairs, he blesses me. No, that is the philosophy. That is Satan counsel. That is the God of this age. And I am glad, brothers and sisters, that my eyes have been opened, that my understanding has been opened, that I am now out of the kingdom of darkness, because we always once walk according to the course of the power of the prince of the air. We also say he is the man upstairs. All of us have said it sometime, one time or another. But now that we're in Christ, we should not be saying he is the man upstairs. We ought to say he is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of my life. He is my God. So we've seen that. He is Satan in his titles and his name. Now, the third point. The second part of that. We looked at the titles. I want us to look at the names, and I want you to bear with me because it's quite a few. As a matter of fact, there are no less than 22 names and titles, as we kind of went through, that the Bible gives of this perverted ex-prince of paradise, which, and by studying these names that the Bible gives, also reveal his wicked character. So as we see his name, it displays, it gives out who Satan really is. And the first name that the Bible gives us, he was once known, and when he was created, we know it as we looked in the book of Isaiah, that his name was Lucifer, in which we understand that his name means light bearer, shining one. Now, because iniquity was found in him, now that he is cast out of heaven, now, and though he still have access to heaven, he just don't be in heaven. No, he's not in the same position that he was. But now he is called Satan. I have a co-worker who's, I share with my wife many a time, named George. He's from Haiti, and he kind of tickled me when he pronounced his name. He says, Santana. I laugh about it, but we know that that's not a laugh matter. But he pronounced it, says Santana. I said, no, it's not Santana, it's Satan. He said, no, it's Santana. I said, okay, that's Santana to you then. But his name means, his name is Satan, and disappeared in the Bible 52 times. And as the Hebrew word means adversary or opposer. It means that he is your adversary. Now, as I shared with you earlier in this message, he hates you. He don't love you. He hates everything about you, and especially of you if you are called by the name of Christ, because you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you identify yourself with Christ, because you are saved in Christ, because you are in Christ. He hates you. So he opposes everything about you. He is our adversary. Secondly, the name, the Bible declared that his name is the devil. And this is used of, I think, about 35 times. And the meaning of this word devil, which is the Greek word diabolos, it means slanderer. We all know what a slanderer is. It means one that is like a tale bearer. It's like one, get this, that sinful speech. You always, or he always accusing the brethren. He always accused the brethren falsely. He's a slanderer. You know how people slander your name? Slander your reputation? Well, you think that they're doing it of themselves? No, they're doing the desire of the one who is the slanderer. He is called the devil. As a matter of fact, one definition said that he is a liar, which is one of his names. Thirdly, he is called the king of death. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Fourthly, he is called the ruler of darkness. And then find that as we would get to, and particularly maybe next week, Lord, as well, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that he is the ruler of darkness. Some theologians think that he is called also the Leviathan. You'll find that in Job chapter 41, verses 14 to 34. Sixthly, he is called the dragon. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And what this speaks of his fierce nature. See, we think that we can outbeat Satan of our own. We think that we are stronger than Satan of our own. And we just learned in the last couple of messages where God had created Satan with such great power and wisdom and beauty. We think, well, how Hollywood would have us to think, or how some preachers would have you to think, that I go around and binding Satan and he's scared of me. And when I woke up, he was terrified of me. We think that if you want to. But here, the Bible says that he is a dragon, and it speaks of his fierce nature. Fierce in conflict. He is ferocious in his attacks against who? Us as believers. You come hell stepping up to with Satan if you want to. And as I said before, he would kick you to sleep. No, the only way you deal with Satan, which we will see next week, Satan and how to stand against him, is being in Christ. Seven, the Bible declares that he is called a deceiver. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it talks about how that Satan would deceive the whole world, the whole nations. One commentary says like this, Satan is not only a deceiver, but he is self-deceived as well. This is the worst deception. How? He once thought and still believed he can defeat Jehovah God. Get that? He's already been defeated at the cross of Christ. When Christ was on the cross, he was defeated. When Christ was buried, he was defeated. When Christ rose again the third day, he was defeated. When Christ ascended into heaven, sit at the right hand, he was defeated. Yet he still thinks he can defeat God. Read the book of Revelation. The Bible says, and I'm just paraphrasing, that when the time comes, when Christ come and set up his kingdom, 1,000 years will be coming in that form, which is called a millennium. The Bible says that Satan will be what? Bound for 1,000 years. Then after that 1,000 years, God will what? Release him. You would think that he have learned his lesson. No, he still goes out and try to deceive, not try. He goes out and deceive the nation to war against God himself until God casts him in the lake of fire. He still think he can defeat God. And I'm going to tell you, that's how pride does you. That's how sin does you. It have you to think insanely. That is insane thinking. How in the world can, again, as I mentioned to you last time or a couple of messages ago, how can the created become the creator himself? That's something to think about. To this day right now, he still think he can beat God. Eighth, the Bible calls him the Apollyon, which is the destroyer. He is an exterminator. He's not the determinator. He is the exterminator. He will destroy anything that he come in contact with, and particularly you as believers. Unbelievers, don't think that you are off his radar. No, you are on his radar as well, and he will destroy your life. I personally believe, Pastor Rod, you may correct me. I personally believe that he's not the reason, he's one of the major reasons that we have so much suicides going on today. He destroys lives. He is not your friend. And it's sad that these poor souls now who think that Satan would grant them power, he is a deceiver. Yet he may give you power only to cast to have you to go where he's going at. He's deceiving you. He is a destroyer. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, talks about how that he is called the angel of the bottomless pit. One commentator says like this, says, man, unbelievable brutality and cruelty to fellow men can often only be explained by the evil energy and sometimes even possession by this deadly destroyer, unquote. The things that we see going on in our society today, in our culture, he said that it could be also infused by this destroyer himself. You think Satan cares for you? No, he doesn't. Ninth, he is called Beelzebub, prince of the demons. And what amazes me, Pastor Rod and brothers and sisters, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was called this. I think in John chapter 9, as he brung it out, that the Pharisee, the wicked and the vile Pharisee, they called Jesus a sinner. Now they calling him Beelzebub. You are Beelzebub, which actually means prince of demons. What? Only the God of this age will have you to make such a statement like that. Only those who are continually being blind by the God of this age, by the God of this world, will have a person to believe that Jesus is a sinner or that he is the king of the demons. And in a sense, he is, because he's Lord over all. Everyone will bow before him. Those that are in heaven, those that are in the earth, and those that are under the earth, everyone will bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, he's Lord in that. But what they were saying, that he was working the power of by the Spirit of God. He was working it by Beelzebub, calling him a devil. It's amazing here. And again, the Bible unmasks him. Then you have the name called Belial, if I'm pronouncing that right. And it one meaning means vileness or ruthlessness. But the primary meaning means worthlessness. He is worthless. He's no good. He means you no good. He's out to destroy you. You who hear me by voice on sermon audio right now, please understand what is being said here. Satan is not your friend. Eleventh, he is called the wicked one. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, our Lord said, then cometh the wicked one. Matthew chapter 6, 13, it says again, he is called the evil one. And this name or title suggests that Satan is not only wicked himself, but he is the source of all wickedness. Why do you think that the Lord in his model prayer for us, when he says that we need to pray, we need to learn how to pray, Lord, deliver me from the Aponaras, the wicked one. Now, that's what I've been doing now, Pastor Rod, and brothers and sisters. I've been praying every morning, Lord, please deliver me from the wicked one. I cannot whip him. I know I got a good, I got a pretty decent fighting game, but I'm getting old, so I ain't trying to fight nobody. I know I can't stand against this cat here. And guess what? No one else either. Only one who did it, and that's Christ himself. Then he is called the tempter. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul calls him the tempter. He is called the tempter, of course, because he first came against humanity to entice, which is Eve, to disobey God. And you'll find that in Genesis chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, tell us that he is called the tempter. In the gospel narratives, the tempter came to our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for what purpose? To tempt Jesus, the Son of God, the God-man, the eternal Son of God, to sin. And if he came to Christ, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Perfect One, God in human flesh, if he came to Jesus Christ, what do you think he would do about us? You think that because you believe that you can whip Satan and that you can, he's, every time you get up, he's trembling at you, at your presence. You think that, well, you keep right on thinking. He is coming at you relentlessly. No one escaped his temptation. He is continually soliciting men to sin. One day, if the Lord permit me, I'm going to do a study on that temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing what he had to go through. 13, he is called the accuser of the brethren. You find it in Revelation chapter 10. In other words, he speaks against us. Every day, my brothers and sisters, he wastes no time. He's before the Father accusing us. One writer said, don't let his accusation be true. And sometimes, because we are still in our sinful flesh, we still sin occasionally, his accusation do be true. But praise be to God, we have the advocate. That's why you read 1 John. That's why you got to understand what the scripture says about Christ. He is the advocate. He is the one that stands before the Father and says, or I may think that he said, I die for them. They are in me. And Satan, instead of accusing, look at Michael. See, he always thinking about himself. He acting like Mikey. He's selfish. He just thinking about himself and him alone. And my righteous advocate, the righteous one, plead on my case. He pleads on every true believer case. That's why you can't lose your salvation. Next, he is called the angel of light. You don't have to turn, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15, the scripture says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan is not going to come to you looking ugly or hideous. He's going to come to you just as he came to Eve. The scripture says, and I forgot to write that one down, but the first time that he met humanity, he came in the form of a serpent. And that, the New Testament talks about his craftiness. Again, you think you're smart, but you ain't got nothing on this cat right here. The only way that you will have something on him is the one who is in you. As the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater than Christ that is in you than he, which is Satan, that is in the world. But he transforms himself into an angel of light. So when Satan come up to you, or when Satan comes and approach you, when he comes to entice you to sin, he ain't coming to you as a hideous form or something ugly like Hollywood would produce. No, the Bible says he's an angel of light. In other words, he's going to make himself be attractive. He wants to draw you in. Not to repel you. So in order to draw you in, he got to make himself attractive. And that's why I said last time, he wants sin to be attractive. One writer says it like this: these verses and then this title by itself explain the rise of many false cults of today. How polished and how popular his ministers often become, how cleverly they can distort and twist the word of God. We got some polished false teachers that is behind this pulpit who can speak eloquently, that will move you with his words and with his aura and with his movements to the point you are so engulfed with emotions and things, yet you don't understand a word he is saying, and he ain't preaching nothing as well. What he does, he attract you with his movements, and he just suave and move back, and he's speaking such eloquent that it just having you to float in the air. Polished individual, polished ministers of Satan. And the reason why he's deceiving you, because you will not get into the word of God. 15, the Bible declares that he is a liar. In John 8:44. It says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks of lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the what? Father of it. So just to put it with us, you know, when we speak a lie, guess who's speaking? You think you came up with that lie? We might think so. We might. And one of the things I have to keep learning, when you tell a lie, you got to keep telling lies. Am I right about that? You got to cover up the lies continually. And then when I, forgive me, Lord, when I do lie, Lord, please forgive me, because I don't want to be like Satan. He is called the father of lies. I tell my wife, I don't practice lying, but lately I look like I've just been lying up a storm. I said, dog, what's going on here? I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. But he is called. Don't look at me like that, because all of us have lied to a certain degree. If you want to put me down, I'll step down for a little while. Nah, I just like being real. And you know, when you speak a lie, it feel like a big old rock come out of your mouth, don't it? Just, oh. Yes, Lord, please forgive me. I just lied then. And probably won't have no reason to lie. You just lied just to be lying. But that's what he's called. He is called a liar. Next, he is called, as the Bible again declares, he is called a murderer. And if you again look at John 8:44, and it was Satan who inspired Cain to murder his godly brother Abel. Matter of fact, in First John 5, he says that Cain was of the wicked one. Next, he is called the enemy. You find that in Matthew 13:39. He puts tares. He is the enemy that sows them. He places tares in the church. Hear what's been said. Now, as we get into the activities of Satan, we'll see that he is one who causes division. He places tares in the church. And lastly, the Bible declares that he is a roaring lion. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. And that word sober means to be serious-minded. Peter was instructing the believers at that time because they were being persecuted because of their faith. They were being scattered because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he tells them, he says, look, be sober-minded, be serious-minded, be watchful in a sense. And one definition can go along with that, being watchful here. But I think here it's talking about be serious-minded. Understand what's going on around you. Take a realistic approach to life. Be intelligent concerning the stratagem or the strategies of Satan. Be careful around him. Stay sober-minded. Be serious. I like to cut fool that time as well, especially being around my family. If you ain't got a tough skin, then you will be mad because they going to joke at you. I had my daughter mess with me yesterday, and I had to smile and go on with it. Meek or something else. But anyhow, I'm learning now to have fun with my family. But at the same time, I got to stay serious-minded. Why? Because I got an enemy who is out there, who is relentless and enticing me to sin. He wants to destroy me. He cannot stand me. Not because of who I am in per se. It's because I am in Christ Jesus. He can't stand the Lord. Jesus says this, the world will hate you, but it doesn't hate you because of you. Notice that the world hate me first. I like what DJ Pentecost says, and I'm quoting, he says, an individual who takes no cognizance of the nature of the world, one who is unmindful of the purpose and attack of our adversary, the devil, can afford to live in a lighthearted or flippantly way. But for one who sees life as Jesus Christ sees it, there must be an entirely new attitude, an entirely new outlook, characterized by sobriety, unquote. We have to be serious about this. Because your adversary, the devil, is seeking how he may destroy you. Now, as a believer, he can't take your salvation away from you. But he can hinder you in your walk. And as we've learned, that he can also steal your joy. He can have put all kinds of things in front of you. And yet, at times, God may use him to test you, as we'll soon see, to prove your mettle, to prove that you are of God. But he cannot destroy you as far as taking your salvation away from. Why? Because you are in the hand. And I thank God for Pastor Rob for teaching me this, that I am in the hand of Almighty God. And no one, and not even myself, is able to take us out of the hand of Christ. But that doesn't stop Satan. He still come after you. Peter, Satan desired to what? To sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Praise God. We got an advocate who sits at the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that brings us to the third point. We've seen first that Satan, who is he? And second, Satan, his title and his name. But now that brings us to the third point, Satan, his activities. Satan, his activities. Who do Satan attacks? Who are his targets? The variety of names that Satan has alert us to the fact that he can attack his opponent in a variety of ways. As mentioned earlier, from the fierceness of a dragon, he can come at you bluntly, fierce, which he does, as a dragon. Or he could come at you to the attractiveness of an angel of light. See, we got to know who we're dealing with. And the only way we know who we're dealing with is in the Word of God. One writer says like this, Satan can adapt himself and his tactics to suit the person and the occasion. In other words, he can meet you wherever your weakness is. He will do whatever necessary to defeat the individual. That means he can adapt. He's like a chameleon. Change colors. He can come at you with the fierceness of his wrath, or he can come at you with the attractiveness as an angel of light. But his sole purpose is to destroy you. One sister had once asked me this question, and she said that, do you think that Satan can read minds? And I told her, I shared with her that no, he cannot read minds. If he could read minds, then he would be all-knowing. He cannot read minds. But he is so, and I shared this also with her, but he is so acquainted with man's sinfulness that he can pick it up just like that. He's acquainted with our depraved nature. I like what Charles C. Ryle says, and he says it best like this. He says, though not all-knowing, Satan has observed many others in situations in which we may find ourselves, and he can predict with a high degree of accuracy what will best defeat us. He's saying, no, Satan ain't all-knowing. But because he has seen man in all types of situations, how he debates it, I mean, not debates, how he baits in the man's, the lust that he have, how he puts that bait out there. And to a point that where he's saying that he is so accurate, he can almost predict to where you think that he's reading your mind. And I like that. I said, now understand, because the fact that he is so acquainted with us, he know what we like at times when we are still in our lustful flesh. So he almost can predict just how to get you. I thought we would get done. Again, who attacked? Let me just begin, first of all, that he attacks God, the triune God. Not physically. I mean, no one can stand against God. But he attacks God in everything that he represents. In relation to God the Father, he, again, remember as I shared with you that he attacks God to set up or to offer a counterfeit kingdom. In other words, he wants you to be part of his kingdom. Remember, I shared with you that he is what? The God of this world. He is the ruler of this world. He is the ruler of this system, this cosmos. And he wants to set up a counterfeit kingdom just as God has a kingdom. And he wants you to believe that rebellion is all right. It's all right. God is not going to judge you about that. Look at me. I'm not saying that's what he's saying, but that's probably what he's saying. Probably. See how I'm doing. I do whatever I want to do. I'm not accountable to nobody. We have heard people say that before. Matter of fact, the scripture says in Psalm 14:1 that the fool have said in their heart, what? There is no God. So I'm not accountable to no one. I do as I please. I can cut the fool like I want to. And you remember as we went through in Isaiah chapter 14 that he want to be like the Most High. So he want to set up his kingdom. Also, he brings about a counterfeit of Trinity, of what, which is an unholy Trinity. And by Satan, he, as representing the Father, which is the Holy Father, God himself, he is the one that's supposed to be representing God the Father. Then you have the Antichrist, who is likened to the Son. Then you have the false prophet, who's in the role of the Holy Spirit. So he have his unholy trinity as well. He wants to mimic God. He wants to have people to worship him as God. He wants to set up a counterfeit kingdom. Secondly, he has his doctrine as well, just as God has his doctrine. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now, listen to me, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Man is not smart enough to come up with the foolishness that we hear today. And the only reason why we are not caught up with that as well, is just as Pastor Rod was saying in Sunday school, is how that God has blessed us to have faith in him. It was God who initiated the birth of us, of being born again. Salvation is of the Lord. God had opened up our eyes that we may behold the Son of God. It is the Spirit of God who now dwells in us and give us understanding according to the Word of God. In its rightful context, the only way that you believe in that Jesus is the Christ is because God the Father had revealed it to you. But the world itself and those who are not in Christ, they are listening to doctrines of devils. And the poor souls who believe that they can command God, who believe that they can call those things as though it were, who believe that somehow God is so proud of me in the sense that he had to have me because there's some good in me. If you believe that, then you're believing the doctrines of the devil. That's what you believe in. You have given heed to the seducing spirit. You know what seducing means? It means to draw you in. And again, I tell you, Satan ain't going to come and just snatch you. Like, come here, come here, come here. No, he was like, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Let me help you out in a little bit. Come on. You know how some of you smooth talkers are? I never had a smooth talk. I had to get drunk thinking that I had a smooth talk. But not these ones who's seduced by seducing spirit. It just comes out of them. Why? Because their God is their belly. Jesus Christ is not their God. Jesus Christ is not their Lord. Jesus Christ is not their Savior. As a matter of fact, they are of the spirit of the Antichrist. He also has worshipers in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, mimicking God now. He has his miracles in Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, you don't have to turn, but let me just go there quickly, and I'll end right here. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Let me read, get the context, and begin at verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by the word, by letters, as from us, as though the day of Christ had come. See, somebody was sending things to them, to this young church here, and they were believing that Christ had already come, and so now they left. So Paul now reassuring them, letting them know, look, if someone gave you a letter or someone been talking to you concerning about the coming of Christ, the day has not approached. And now he shared with them what must first take place before Christ does come. Look at verse 3. He says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day would not come unless the fallen away come first and the man of sin is revealed. Here he's speaking about the Antichrist, the son of perdition. Notice the description that he gives of the man of sin, who opposes and exalt himself above all that is what? Called God, or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Then in verse 5, he says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And that's why we constantly, as preachers, teachers, constantly go over and over. It's not to be nagging, but to remind you of what's happening, what the scripture says. I'm not ashamed to keep going over the same thing, because that's what the Apostle Paul did. That's what Christ said to do. We are to teach you the word of God. And the word of God is repetitive in the things of God. And Paul says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Here he's speaking of the Spirit of God. That when the Spirit of God is taken out of the way, in the sense that he takes away his restraining hand, that the lawless one, verse 8, and then the lawless one will be what? Revealed. Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan. With all powers, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You got so many people now going around looking for a miracle here, looking for a miracle there, and then there. Churches instead of telling you, come here and receive your miracle today. Come and get this miracle water, spread on you and everything. And people are so gullible to go and look for these things here. And yet the Bible says that Satan can work these miracles as well. But you notice that it says it is a lying wonder. And that lying wonder is not to draw you to Christ. It's to draw you away from Christ. And because you are so gullible and you want that, notice what God says here. And because they did not receive the love of the truth. You didn't want the truth. You didn't want those who speak the truth. You didn't want those preachers who cannot holly talk to speak the truth. You didn't want to hear them. You want to hear them old hook booger preachers to tell you that your miracle is here. So, because you don't want the truth, notice verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they shall believe what? The lie. You're going to believe the lie. And guess who's going to make you believe the lie? The Lord himself. And you think you'll be able not to believe that? No. God himself is going to send you a strong delusion because you refuse the truth, because you had no love for the truth. Then because of that, I'm going to send you what you want. You want a lie? Here it is. And guess who the lie is? The Antichrist. I'm not surprised, as I'm ending here, I'm not surprised how our church is today. I'm not surprised. And It aches me at times to see how these pews are not filled. I can see if we was not preaching the truth. I can understand it if, you know, if I was out there committing adultery, I was committing some type of horror, messed up life and pretending to be a preacher. Or this man as well, or some of you as well. But people don't want to hear the truth, beloved. And the Bible speaks again, in the latter times, they will give heed to seducing spirit. They run to the false teachers. The false teachers don't have to come to them. They go to them. It is my heart and desire, as I share with you right now, that these pews be packed only to hear the word of God. Not because I'm here, or Pastor Rod here, or maybe because I'm kind of good looking. You know, I had to try to get a laugh in. That was a laugh. But no, that ain't the reason. No, I want it packed because you want the truth. You want the word of God. You want to grow in the saving knowledge of the word of God. You want to hear what Christ has to say to you. You want to understand the Bible. You want to live a holy life. You want to do as God has commanded you. Why? Because he has saved you. Because he will glorify you. And he is sanctifying you. You love the truth. You are attracted to the truth. But it is sad that there ain't that many here today. And I thank the Lord that most of our audience is in sermon audio. And I thank God that he allowed his word to reach those who he has given ears to hear. And see, that's why I admire y'all. I admire you. You come in Sunday after Sunday. And you know you're not going to get some plexiglass preacher. You know you ain't finna get that old messed up preacher. You know you finna get the word of God. And I believe, you correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the reason why you still come here, because you love the truth. You love Christ. Yes, you love Pastor Rod, you love myself, you love everyone who is a member of the church, but most of all, you love Christ and you love to hear his word. That is not only for here, but those who are hearing me by sermon audio. If you continue to listen to Word of Life Community Church, it is because you love to hear the truth. There's nothing special about us. We are just tools in the mighty hand of Almighty God. And we are privileged to be used by his greatness. We are his slaves, his ministers, ministers of righteousness. So if you want to hear the truth, this is one place you can come. If you don't want to hear the truth, then don't come through them doors. Don't come there. Don't come here. Because the truth is going to be spoken. It may be a time that the Lord may take me away before you take Pastor Rod. I still know the truth is going to be spoken. Or it might be vice versa. The truth is going to be spoken. The truth is going to be preached. Jesus Christ will be preached here at Word of Life Community Church. I know I was rambling, but I think that had to be said. Let us end right there, and we'll continue on next week. Let us pray.